God has exchanged the punishment that we deserve for pardon. We have been declared not guilty. We have been set free. God has exchanged judgment for Jesus. God has exchanged condemnation for salvation. And God has exchanged hell for heaven. Because God loves you. And God loves us all. The question is then, have we received God's gift of forgiveness? Do we know that we know that we know that we are forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ and what Christ did on the cross for us? For you see, there is a direct correlation between being forgiven and being able to forgive another, to forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32, Paul writes, "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Think about that. Today, we need to choose to celebrate that we, you and I, have been forgiven all our sins, past, present, and future. That is significant, folks. That is the core of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need to choose to forgive others and then be set free. Choose to forgive others and be set free. Now, I don't want to minimize your pain. I'm not here to minimize what you have been through, what you have suffered, what you have endured. I know there are some hurting people among us. We've all been hurt deeply at one time or another. But compared to what we've been forgiven of, everything else is small. Compared to what God has forgiven us of, everything else is small. Someone once said, "You will never have to forgive someone more than what God's forgiven you." Think about that. You will never have to forgive someone more than what God's forgiven you. Proverbs 19:11 reminds us that sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Now, I know I'm just looking around and I'm seeing faces and I'm thinking of things. I'm thinking of things that have happened in our community in the last year. I'm thinking about things that I know about in your lives and things that are happening here at Bethel Church. And this is a hard, hard thing to talk about this morning, isn't it? But we must. These are the difficult sayings and teachings of Jesus Christ. For you see, we are never more like God than when we forgive. And it's not easy, is it? Forgiveness is unnatural for us. We want revenge. We want paybacks. We want retribution. We want justice to be served. And yet, at the same time, we are still commanded to choose forgiveness. To choose forgiveness. And yet we hang on to that pain. We hang on to that resentment and that bitterness and that unforgiveness. Or we can choose to let it go and not replay those tapes, to replay those memory banks that are there. How many of you have a TiVo machine in your entertainment center? Yeah, a few of us. I still have a VCR tape player. Can you believe that? You know what they're for. They're so you can play back the game if you miss it, or play back the show or the Dancing with Stars or whatever you watch on Sunday nights or whenever, so that you can watch it in your own leisure. Well, that reminds me that those TiVo machines are like our memory banks. We keep playing back that hurt. We keep playing back that pain and playing back that resentful stuff that happened between you and someone else or other people. It reminds me of the two gentlemen that were talking one day, and they were talking about their wives and their marriages and whatnot. And one guy says, "Well, my wife is so upset at me right now, she went historical." The guy says, "Historical?" Says, "Don't you mean hysterical?" He says, "No, I mean historical. She's brought up everything I ever did wrong." I'm sure you've heard the expression, forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. I'd love to be able to do that, to forgive and forget, but you know, it's just not humanly possible to forget. There's no way that we can physically go into our brains and erase, like we do on the computer, delete certain things from its memory. You know, these things are in our mind, in our thinking process. We can't forget or erase those memory banks. You see, forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. Forgiving doesn't mean minimizing the hurt that we have endured. Forgiving doesn't mean pretending the bad thing didn't happen. That's not what forgiveness is about. You see, forgiveness is relinquishing the right to hurt somebody that has hurt us. Releasing that right to hurt someone who has hurt us. It is releasing the other person, from our judgment and releasing them to God's justice. That's what true forgiveness is. Letting go of the right to get even, to get revenge, and learning to release and not relive the hurt deep inside us. The Bible reminds us in Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. But I can hear people saying in their hearts and minds right now, no way, you don't know how hard I've been hurt. You don't know how badly I have been damaged and hurt by this situation or these people. Your boss may have used you and then let you go. A friend may have betrayed you, and then you feel violated. You've been stabbed in the back by someone you trusted. You have been physically or sexually abused by a relative or someone else. An ex-spouse has walked out on you. Are we supposed to give them a free pass on this stuff? Remember, it's a choice we all have to make. Forgiveness is a choice. We don't need to just forgive them, but we also are called to pray for them as well. Jesus said in Luke 6:27-28, but to you who are willing to listen, I say, what? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. Celebrate that you can forgive others and be set free. And finally, choose to release yourself from torture. Choose to relieve yourself from the torture. The king then called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. To live with unforgiveness in our hearts, to live with bitterness and resentment and an unforgiving spirit is torture. It is like a cancer growing within us. And you see, unforgiveness hurts us more than it does the person that we're to forgive. Our hearts can grow cold. Our hearts can grow hard and negative and critical if we harbor this unforgiveness within us. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Forgiveness is a choice. Will you be the one to take the high road? Will you be the one to respond to Jesus' command to forgive as you have been forgiven? Will you be the one in whatever your situation is to say, enough. Enough of this. I forgive you. Will you forgive me? Today you were given a stone when you came in. And as we close our service out today, I'm extending an invitation. I'm extending an invitation to any of us who need to lay that stone of unforgiveness within us down. And I thought maybe one way we could do that in a very symbolic manner is to invite you to come as you are led as we sing our closing song. Bring your stone, that stone that represents any forgiveness, unforgiveness in your hearts. Bring them to this baptismal font. And as you lay that stone in the water, touch the water at the same time. Put it on your heart or your head or whatever, and give thanks to God for God's grace, God's forgiveness that God has extended to each and every one of us. It is a gift that must be received. I invite you now to come, lay stone in the font, and receive the grace of God, and remember that you are forgiven